Our gospel story today comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Clopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. I think that this story, the story of Jesus appearing to two of his friends as they walk the road to Emmaus, is the most heartbreaking of the Easter stories. All of the men and women who saw Jesus die are grieving, of course. No matter how much they believe in God and in the resurrection, it would still hurt just to witness that much pain. None of them are certain what might come next, but the women still go to the tomb, and the disciples still stay together, isolating themselves away in a locked house. But in this story, the two men are not approaching the tomb, and they're not even staying in the city where all these events had taken place. They are leaving Jerusalem for Emmaus, a village about a 2-hour walk away. They can't bear to stay in the shadow of the hill on which Jesus was crucified. Who could blame them? So they start walking, walking away from the tomb, walking away from the city. But they can't walk away from their grief. So as they walk, they share their stories and try to process together what has happened. But while they are walking, Jesus himself appears and comes to walk alongside them, even though they don't recognize him. He asks them what they've been talking about, and they stop in their tracks, shocked and sad. How could he not know? Didn't everybody know? One commentator this week said that it would be like somebody tapping your shoulder in a grocery store aisle and asking why you were wearing a mask. Have you been living under a rock? Is this a rhetorical question? How could anybody not understand the seriousness of the situation and the need to protect each other in the midst of a pandemic? How could anyone in or around Jerusalem not be aware that Jesus had just been tried and executed and that his friends feared for their lives? This stranger must be the only one who doesn't know. So they tell the stranger about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, who had just been tried and condemned to death only 3 days ago. And they tell the stranger, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Past tense. They did hope, but not anymore. You can imagine in the before times, a family picking up their things and leaving a waiting room. We had hoped that the surgery would be a success. You can imagine contemplating the aftermath of a riot. We had hoped that things would turn out differently. You can imagine, in these times, reading the news. We had hoped that the numbers would have begun to drop by now. You can imagine, living under the oppression of the Roman Empire, dreaming of a savior who would liberate the oppressed and overthrow the economic system and usher in a new era of peace. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. We had hoped, but we aren't so sure now. The two men, Clopas and his unnamed companion, are in a valley of shadow and fear and uncertainty, not knowing what will happen now that their hopes have died on a cross. But that valley is where Jesus meets them. Even when our optimism falls to dust, even when our plans fall through, even when none of our hopes come to be, Jesus still comes to us and walks with us. Even when we can't see him through our grief, Jesus still comes to us and walks with us. Even when we are walking away from Jerusalem, trying to leave our broken dreams miles behind us, Jesus still comes to us and walks with us. Jesus will never abandon you just because you begin to fear that he might not be as powerful as you had hoped. Jesus will never abandon you just because you believe that you are truly alone. Jesus will never abandon you just because you have doubts. The love of God has no conditions or price. The love of God isn't dependent on perfect faith or perfect behavior or a perfect society. The love of God isn't any less when people are more concerned with survival than prayer. The love of God isn't any less when we are angry at God for not stepping in and fixing everything. The two men ask Jesus to stay with them, but Jesus stays with us without our even asking. Jesus stays with us no matter what. Whether or not we see him, whether or not we recognize him, whether or not we have enough hope left to even think to look for him, Jesus is still with us, always, on every road we walk, even when we turn our backs on Jerusalem and walk away. Maybe we had hoped for something different, but we still have the hope and the confidence deep in our souls to be able to say, "The Lord has risen indeed."